Here to tell us more about the Cleveland Cavaliers' victory last night, Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Rick, thank you very much for joining us. Last night's victory, boy, so many positives that really came out of that. Would you agree that that was a statement victory, or do you think that was just another victory?
Well, I mean, I don't know about statement, but I thought it was their most complete performance of the season. I also thought it showed just how good they can be when they're committed and focused and locked in to the task at hand. You know, they won the tiebreaker now if they end up tied with Boston, so they have a pretty decent leg up. They certainly are in a much better place than they were 7 or 9 days ago when they had lost 3 in a row and 5 of 7 and 10 of 16. And the way they dominated last night, I mean, poor Boston didn't have a chance. They didn't play particularly well, but it was almost like the moment was too big for the Celtics. And the Cavs looked, on the other hand, like it was a moment they had been waiting for all season. You know, I know LeBron soft-selled this game the night before after their win at home, but you could tell that the game meant something to him and his teammates because I mean, they just took care of business from beginning to end.
Rick, as the Cavs gear up here for the postseason, of course, Tristan Thompson was out with a sprained right thumb in last night's game. I believe he's going to miss Friday as well against the Atlanta Hawks. But what is sort of the word on Tristan Thompson at this point? Is he going to be back come playoff time? Is that expected?
Well, we don't know specifically beyond he's going to rest and rehab and miss tomorrow for sure. My assumption would be, yes, absolutely, he'll be back. I think had last night been an NBA Finals game, he could have played in that one as well. But this could turn out to be a blessing in disguise for the Cavs because that streak had kind of become a bit of an albatross because he had not been playing real well. He looks worn down and a bit tired, and these couple games off, maybe even one or two more if they deem it necessary, I think we'll see a much fresher and more energetic Tristan Thompson, and that's the player they're going to need in the playoffs. So I'm not overly concerned about the injury. I think what we did learn last night is Derek Williams isn't really in their playoff plans, and unless they have a big sudden change of heart, neither is Larry Sanders. They're going to try to get by with playing small. And if LeBron has to play some point center like he did last night, extremely well, I may add, that's when they blew the game open at the start of the second quarter. I think they'll go that route. So I think Tristan will be fine, and I think he will be better for it, having had, 3 to 5 days off when he comes back.
We're talking with Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers are red hot. That was a huge win over the Celtics last night. But yesterday on Twitter, you had raved about the Cavs' relentless pursuit on the offensive glass. How did they improve on the offensive glass last night without having their best offensive rebounder?
If I knew the answer to that, I'd probably be sitting on the bench a few seats down from Ty Lue. Number one, Boston's not an overly big team, nor are they an overly physical team. Kevin Love, though, was ridiculously good going after rebounds, as was LeBron, who hasn't always done that a lot because he has to take an opportunity to try to get a rest here and there, so he tends to drop back more on defense. But he and Kevin Love and even Channing Frye just chased down balls. They got tip-outs. They got contested rebounds. They quite frankly, were shooting the ball horrendously in the first quarter, but were still leading for most of it and right there at the end of it because they got so many extra shots. So if they can continue that, that is just disheartening to a team to play good defense for most of 24 seconds. And then have a team get not just two shots, but sometimes three and sometimes four. So they'll be tough to beat if they can keep that up.
Well, and if we could take a look at two guys that really stepped up last night, not only last night, but the night before, I tell you, Rick, I'm not sure who can beat these guys. If JR and Kyle Korver are shooting the way they're shooting right now. I mean, I didn't realize this till I put the numbers together earlier. You had tweeted something out after that Orlando game, and then combined with what these two guys did last night, over the last two games, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, 12 of 22 combined from beyond the arc, shooting 54.5% from three-point land. I mean, just if you could, kind of talk about what that will do to opposing teams if they're hitting like that from three-point land.
Well, the thing is, you have to – somebody has to get a shot on this team because LeBron and Kyrie for sure and occasionally even Kevin Love are going to command a double team. So the ball is going to swing around the perimeter. When or if they put both those guys on the floor together, it could be deadly. I was worried about JR, quite frankly, until these last four or five games. He had not been playing well. He hadn't even been getting many shots in some games. But he seems to have found his rhythm and gotten back into the swing of things. Korver, I think the best news is we can hope for, because I don't think there's any doubt he's going to make shots. He's done it for what, 12, 14 years now? As long as his foot doesn't flare up, and that's, you know, got to be a tiny, tiny bit at least in the back of your mind, he's going to be a legit weapon in the playoffs because he's their best bench player, I believe, and I don't think it's really all that close. And if you can get 12 to 15 a night from him off the bench with the big three and JR, you know, now putting up his 15 or 16 a game, you're going to be really good. I think what the Cavs have done is they've reaffirmed, while they're not a lock to win the Eastern Conference, they're still decently better than anybody else in it. And if they're playing their game and healthy, they're going to be in the finals for a third straight year.
I got to believe that's something that sort of the rest of the Eastern Conference takes note of when you have a dominating victory like that against Boston last night as well. But, Rick, when you say they put together their most complete game, where were they missing in the past? Was it just chemistry? They weren't connecting with passes and shots and all?
Well, I thought it was more of a intangible, just like commitment and focus to the entire game. Mm-hmm. They've had stretches where they've played extremely well, and then they've had stretches where they just don't really seem to care. Tarantula refers to it as messing around with the game. They get up and they try to make spectacular ESPN plays rather than just fundamental basketball plays. And I thought last night they stayed within themselves the entire game. Their defense was extremely good for the most part. And when they did have mini breakdowns, they had them in the right way oftentimes, where you had not real good perimeter shooters like Kelly Olynyk and Jay Crowder, even Horford, a couple other guys, taking 20-footers. And Boston's a team you can live with that because they struggle to find offense if Isaiah Thomas isn't breaking you down totally. And I thought they did a good job of really making him work. He got some garbage points and some iffy calls down the stretch of a 25-point game and really kind of padded his stats quite a bit. But if their defense can be like it was last night, that makes their offense better. And I think it makes their commitment to the game better, if that makes any sense. They just kind of get bored at times. And to be honest, guys, I won't be totally shocked if it happens tomorrow. If it doesn't, that's a very, very good sign because it's a game against, you know, a so-so opponent that they know walking onto the floor for pregame warm-ups that they should win it. But it would be very encouraging if they went out and won it and dominated from the get-go to where, you know, they're resting guys most of the last quarter again.
We're talking with Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette about the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Rick, we'll cut you loose on this. I've been meaning to ask you this since last week. Wait, I'm not sure what's going on with Shumpert right now, but you tweeted something
bad.
Out last week. I had to ask you about it because, again, you tweeted out that the idea that this guy is one of the league's best defenders is one of the league's great myths. And I wanted you to give you a chance here to kind of expand on that, too, because, boy, defensively, he just looks lost.
Well, I think, number one, that entire myth was originally created by the New York City media, which overhypes people, and one of whom actually voted for Iman Shumpert for Rookie of the Year over, I believe, Kyrie Irving in the same season. He can be a good defender, but he hasn't been. I mean, just watch the games. It was late in the first quarter when Isaiah Thomas got two easy layups finally, and it was no coincidence that they happened right after Shumpert checked into the game and took over defending him. I thought for a minute the other night, I'm trying to think of what game it was, the Orlando game when they had that monumental third quarter and outscored him 43-20. They did not play Shumpert in the third quarter of that game, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they maintained their torrid play for the entire period. He was a tiny bit better last night, but he's been a disappointment, quite honestly. I wouldn't be averse to seeing Deron Williams get minutes at both guard spots. He's not a great defender either, but at least he's in the right place more often than not and can help you offensively and really reducing Chump's minutes. Ty Lue doesn't see it that way. He's pretty loyal to Shumpert right now. But it's something to keep an eye on because they have a lot of bench options to choose from, and they may, in my opinion, have better ones if he's not included in them.
Cavaliers are in action tomorrow night. They will play host to the Atlanta Hawks, and then they go to Atlanta on Sunday. Rick, we thank you for your time as always, and we'll certainly do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you much.
All righty, that's Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette. You can follow Rick on Twitter as well, at Rick Noland. Rick's got plenty of good tidbits on there throughout Cavalier games as well.